Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 18th of June, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, as per tradition, we got it right this time, joining me on Friday for Secure Your S Friday, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. It is Fry-yay.
I think you just like that I've changed the name of Security Friday. I think that may be part of it. I'm workshopping something new. Thanks, Nate, on Twitter. Nate enjoyed it and dubbed the show that, and I'm sort of preferring that name. We'll see what happens. If you have a better name, give it to us at observations@macobserver.com. Otherwise, this is what we're going with. Andrew. You are here to talk to us about security news. We have a sort of practical tip, I guess, for a very specific definition of practical coming up later. But for right now, we need to talk about PDFs.
Yes. Let's see. According to Microsoft, covered by ZDNet, it sounds like there is this type of malware called SolarMarker. I think it's been around for quite a bit now, but the team behind it is using a different attack vector to spread it to people.
Wonderful.
So first, Microsoft says that SolarMarker/Jupiter is a backdoor that can steal your login credentials and other data from browsers.
Well, and that's the team what we like is to using hear. This.
Yeah, the team is using this technique called SEO poisoning. To fill, so they're spreading the malware through malicious PDFs. And they're using what's called SEO poisoning, which means that they're loading these PDFs with as many like keywords as they can to try to get the malicious web result as high in Google search results as possible. So, you know, obviously that way people will be more likely to see it.
This is fascinating to me that because a lot of attack vectors are a software flaw, right? And what we're doing here is gaming the system so that PDF comes up super high if somebody goes and searches for something, which I don't think we've seen before as an attack vector. Like, I'm betting on search results to screw up your machine seems new, or at least novel.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting technique. So, in particular, though, these search results are leading people to a website that pretends to be Google Drive. And I'm sure part of their technique is maybe you're searching for a specific PDF and the search result will make it look like it's the PDF you want. But of course, when you download the PDF, it will install this malware onto your system. So it says, Microsoft says the PDF will ask people to download a .x or just a .dot file or a .pdf version. Then the people will be redirected through about 5 to 7 websites before arriving at the fake Google Drive website. So one of the early signs is just look for your browser, like quickly trying to in the browser search field, you know. Because it says it uses domains like .site, .tk, and .ga. Those are some of the websites you'll be redirected through. So maybe keep an eye on that.
Okay. So yeah, if you do look, because there is an indicator when you look at a PDF at search results that you're getting a PDF when you do that, or the, you know, whatever it may be. That's interesting. More places you sort of have to be vigilant when you're looking at trying to be secure online. Like, this is another one, is just doing a search, a web search, generally wouldn't be a thing you'd think of, I would say.
Right.
For screwing up your machine. So, yeah. Constant vigilance. Now we're all Mad-Eye Moody, right? So... and guess what? It turns out it's not just PDFs you have to be aware of. It's also the pharmacy.
Yes. So we've had a data leak. This time it's from CVS Health. They It sounds like it's more of a leak than a breach, because there is a difference.
Yes.
These security researchers found a CVS database that was not protected by a password, and so it contained about 1 billion user records. Some of the information included were customer email addresses, user IDs, other types of metadata. Mm-hmm. But they do say CVS Health acted fast and professionally to secure the data, and a member of that their information and security team contacted the researcher just the next day. So that's nice and fast.
Yeah.
They confirmed the findings that the data was theirs. And then it sounds like it was due to a third-party contractor or vendor who managed this database on behalf of CVS Health. Okay. But they, of course, didn't share who that vendor was.
Yeah. And leak is, this was not action that, I want to make sure I got my definitions right. So Andrew, please crack me if I'm wrong. But a leak is like, it was a database that anyone could stumble across. It wasn't like somebody went sashaying through CVS Health online and like crawled through the servers with ill intentions and got in, and that, like, because that's a breach when somebody actively goes and takes the data and redistributes it. That's a breach. But this was a leak. Like, it's, and like, it, the password was admin, or there was not one at all, you know, or whatever. It's that. So to me,
the difference is just active versus passive. Mm-hmm. Like, data leak is passive. It's just sitting there. And a data breach, you're like actively trying to break into something, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that's an interesting one. So if you have anything, if you've ever stored user information with CVS Health, you may want to swap out that password. That's a good thing to know. I mean, that's kind of a good idea to rotate through some of those eventually anyway, but that's a good one. Mm-hmm. We also have, speaking of sort of interesting attack vectors, we have a new strain of malware out there that also has a very interesting effect if it happens to get on your machine.
So Andrew Brandt over at Sophos reported on this. This was an unusual and interesting malware campaign where it's not really, like, it's malware. It's something you probably don't want on your computer, so it's malicious. But instead of trying to steal your login credentials, like those malicious PDFs, this one is preventing people from visiting software piracy websites like the Pirate Bay. And it sends the name of the pirated software the user was hoping to use to this other website, which also delivers what they call a secondary payload. And what did you say? So, yeah, basically, it's just trying to stop and maybe report on software pirates.
Okay.
It says it's modifying the host file in order to block you from going to these websites. Mm-hmm. And as he says, it's kind of a crude method because anyone with the knowledge can open and edit the host file themselves.
Right.
So you can, you know, open it at any time, look at what's going on in there. And then if you do see some of these domains or just something weird going on in there, like, it's a host file, so probably Google it first to make sure you're not deleting anything important.
Yeah. Or just, you can, you know, break all of the internet access you have on your machine if you screw up the Etsy host file. Ask me how I know. Yes, it's a thing. So be aware.
Yeah. So he says the malware adds from a few hundred to more than 1,000 web domains to the host file, and it just points them at your local host address, which is 127.0.0.1.
Yes.
Now, I share this because, like I said, it's unusual, interesting, but it sounds like it's mostly aimed toward Windows users. Mm-hmm. Because it, based on the screenshots that he sent, it looks like it's mostly taken the form of .exe files, which Mac users or Mac OS cannot open. And in some cases, it could display a message to the victim saying, alert, alert, you're missing some kind of important .dll file, which Mac OS also doesn't have.
Yeah. You know, it's also interesting because I mean it's an exe file, which your computer can't run for the most part, like mm-hmm. unless you've got some sort of very special setup, like that's not going to run on your Mac. And so that's another interesting piece of this. And the thing about the host file, I thought was, while still not great, is in fact a little bit clever. I'll give them points mm-hmm. for originality. Like, it's not the greatest, it's not the greatest way to sort of, you know, stop people from, like, you know, going to the Pirate Bay or whatever. But it's an interesting idea, because that's also a hard thing for people. Like, nobody thinks about, oh, let me go check my hosts file to make sure my internet access is not having trouble. You know, everybody goes, oh, my router or my modem is the issue. So it's an interesting thing in that respect, I think.
So. Yeah. And then finally, by the way, I forgot to mention this. So he also says, at least some of the malware is hosted on Discord, posing as fake game downloads. And okay. It says other copies are distributed through BitTorrent, and they're named after pretending to be popular games, productivity tools, or even security products. Mm-hmm. So that's those are the distribution channels.
Yeah. So Fast Eddie's House of Shareware is not where you should be getting your virus protection from. And I'm saying that, and we're recording this so that you don't have to tell people that. Like, if you're IT for your family, just let them listen to this show and then we'll tell them for you. Don't go get your stuff from Fast Eddie's House of Shareware. It's not going to end well for you. The end. If you want virus protection, go to the site that sells the virus protection, buy it there. You can also, I know with Windows Defender and some of the other basic protections that are built into Windows 10 are pretty good at catching most of the big stuff. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of options out there. If you have to support Windows users, there are a lot of things you can do for them. And it's very easy to find places breaking down what those look like and how they're, you know, how they stack up against each other. So on the Windows side, mm-hmm. that's not too bad. On macOS, we haven't seen a lot on iOS, but on macOS, there's also basic stuff you can do and turn on some of the protections, again, built into the operating system, and that can help you out some. So that will work as well. Now we have today's practical tip, and I feel like practical is doing an awful lot of work in this sentence. as Charlotte would say. So this is a tactic you can use if you have an iOS device and you absolutely want to make sure nobody can get into it ever again, or if you can't get into it so that you can say, you know, erase all settings a few times and you know, or you want to make absolutely sure that anything on it never escapes that phone ever again, right? We have a tip.
Yeah, so The Intercept was one who wrote this up. And like Kelly said, this is probably good for old device that you don't plan to resell or use ever again. You just want to get rid of it. Maybe you could recycle it, or you could take it apart and drill a hole through the flash memory chip. And The Intercept tells you instructions on how to do this, because they say the flash memory chip, it has an encryption key, I think, or it has something to do with encryption. So if it's destroyed, then all your data, because modern iPhones and iPads, they encrypt your data by default. Once that encryption key is destroyed, then that data can no longer be accessed.
Okay. All right. So you can drill a hole. Now, you know, remember, you're drilling through glass, maybe on the front and the back, definitely on the front. They do
wear safety gear.
Yeah. Like, at a minimum, you need to put some goggles on. And I would suggest also thinking very, very deeply about exactly how great your need is for taking a drill to a phone. because it may not be as great as you think it is. Like, let's just say that. But if you really do need to, there's a thing that you can do. I think this is probably a pretty extreme case, but it's possible, and it's a thing that happens.
This is something like, you know, CIA spies or NSA hackers do to make sure their data is completely destroyed. I mean, there's other examples. Like, at least I read in the past that the Army, if they have like old hard drives they want to get rid of, I think they use it's called a degausser. No, not a degausser, but it's some kind of magnetic thing that just completely destroys the hard drives.
Yeah. It's a hard, like, I've seen hard drive shredder. Like, I've seen that in action. It's impressive. It's a real thing. But yeah, if you have drives that have ever contained classified data and things like that, obviously you will want to go to a slightly more extreme measure. I've erased a bunch of times, you know, and left it at that. So, yeah. So there are times when it is the right thing to do, but they are very, very few times. I would go so far as to say, if this is a thing you have to do and you have an honest use case for it, you shouldn't be learning about it from us. This is a thing you probably already know. Get a chance, check out hard drive shredders just as a thing, because as a piece of machinery, it's kind of an impressive thing.
Like, go watch a YouTube video or something.
Yes, that is today's YouTube rabbit hole recommendation, is go find hard drive shredders, because it's definitely something to check out. I would like to point out to people, one thing we would like to do here on Security Friday is answer your security questions. So if you have questions, even if that question is, where do I start with making sure that I'm more secure online? These are the kind of things we want to answer for you. If you write into us and you send us your questions, we will feature them on the show. I would very much like to be able to collect some questions and have a mailbag episode where we just answer the questions of everybody that likes to listen to Security Friday. So I will tell you again how you can do that. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And we definitely want to make sure that we are answering the questions you all have. So let us know, and when we collect enough questions, then we'll put those together and do a show and give you a shout out for the question that you asked. I know a lot of people, when I talk to folks about security, which I do often, I find that a lot of people say, like, I just don't even know where to begin, or, you know, what kind of stuff I'm even supposed to be asking about. So that's part of what we want to do, is help you make sure that you're asking the questions that you actually want to get the answers to. So we will do that. So, Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, enjoy your weekend. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you again on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.